Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey. Well, the Chinese Fellowship, we bless them this morning. God bless them as they head out to their time. We're going to pray with Joe. This morning, many of you will know Joe, but Joe has been selected. Tell me if I get this wrong, Joe, but New Zealand government, basically. We're looking for a representative team to be able to go. Where are you going? Come and stand with me. You speak into this. I'll ask the questions.
Okay.
I've been asked to go with the Deputy Prime Minister and some of the MP to go to the Melanesian culture. Papua New Guinea, Solomon Island, and Vanuatu.
Yeah.
Is it Melanesian? Melanesian.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, whatever you say, Joe.
So that's where we're going at the moment. Yeah.
Okay. So I want you to get this. Okay. New Zealand government wants to go and looks around and looking for people that they think would just enhance what is already going on to what they see. And Winston Peters comes to you and says, Joe, I want you to come with me. Is that basically it?
Basically, quick one.
Yeah.
Basically, I was on the street helping the homeless.
Yeah.
When the email came that Winston Peters has have a formal invitation for me to join the trip for the mission, for Pacifica Mission 2019. In these three countries.
Wow. Hey, isn't that good? Well, that happens to each of us, so we get that all the time, So, this is something special. I was reading again this morning because I'm going to share from Acts chapter 4, and what blew away the leadership of the day was around Israel, around Judea, was that here were these unskilled, ordinary people who were just had a presence about them that made them feel like a threat to those that rule. One of the verses says that as they looked, they saw that these were ordinary men, but they recognized that they had been with Jesus. You know, and I just want to commend Joe. Joe, that his ministry is walking the streets of Wellington, and talking to the guys that haven't got a place to live. And I just know the ministry. I see on Facebook you have a group now that meets at McDonald's.
Yes.
Sounds like a really good home group, actually.
It's
the sort of group that I'd like to belong to.
Come along.
Yeah, but are they meet? How many men would you have now?
Well, I've got a daytime home group, which is normally we meet at the Wellington City, which just started last week. I had five of them.
Yeah.
But in Newtown, I have seven or nine men that comes along and have a disciple time. But they already have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Yeah. That's good, eh?
That's between them and Jesus Christ. I'm just doing my way of looking that God is calling me to do and sow seeds to them. And yeah, I'm the only minister that has been chosen to from the church leaders around Wellington.
That's so good.
I'm the only one that I've chosen to go. Yeah. Minister. Thank you.
I just love that. I just love it. Why didn't I get invited? You know, anyway. Okay. Now, I'm emphasizing here because the reality is that I think Joe, the thing that I love about Joe, I go back to Hara, Joe. I remember coming to visit you and Janine at Hara, and we were going to go somewhere for lunch.
Yes.
And we went down the street, and it wasn't far from where we were to the place we're going for lunch. But I reckon every citizen of Hara wanted to talk to you, and cars would come alongside, pull up. I thought it was windows would wind down. I thought, crikey, what's happening here? Next moment, hi, Joe. I just want to say that to you as a means of encouragement, bro, because I know that you live in a world where sometimes you wonder, what on earth is going on? There are people that I've met that I see the Spirit of Jesus, but I've never met somebody who just carries Jesus in a way that, look, anybody can go, man, I could have that, you know? And I just want to thank you that you you are just you, Joe, and that you are just so faithful and you just submit yourself to the Lord and how God blesses you. And I just think this whole trip is just an endorsement on you, on your leadership in this city, and because it's godly leadership. Because you see, the way of the kingdom, God's ways,
amen,
are not our ways, right? Yes. They're not our ways.
No.
You see, we think, oh, you've got to be somebody of prestige. No. And No, not in God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, God takes. He takes the weak. He takes the broken. He takes the things that would be simple, and he uses them for his honor and for his glory. And you just, Joe, you represent all that, and we just want to honor you. And just, you know, thank God for you. And we're going to pray with you as you go and just sort Winston Peters out while you're there. That'd be nice. All right, let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for our brother Joe. We thank you, Father, that you came into his life years ago and radically changed him forever. And Lord, today he stands in your presence, and he every day his prayer is, God, just use me. Just use me. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for the way in which you are using Joe. And we pray, God, that you would, Lord, as he goes, Father, there are going to be moments when I sense he's going to feel like he's just right out of his league. He's just, Lord. But God, Father, Lord, the world that Joe brings is the real world. And Father, we pray, God, that Joe will have mighty influence into the world to which he is about to enter. Lord, use him like you've never used him before. Yes, Father, may your kingdom come.
Yes,
may your will be done.
Yes.
Father, Lord, in a way that, Father, Lord, that it would blow the minds of the politicians, of the leaders of countries, of people that he will meet, dear Father God.
Yes.
Oh, God, may the Spirit of Jesus be seen always in Joe, we pray. Lord, we pray for such anointing. We thank you for this now, and we just pray, bless him, Lord. Bless his family. God, you've got your arms around this family. And we pray, God, that in the midst of everything that's going on in this family, God, your hand is upon this family, and we thank you for that. And so, God, Lord, just use Joe. Bless him. Lord, may the favor of God continue to rest on him now and forevermore. Amen. And amen.
Thanks, Dad.
Hey, bless you, bro. Hey. Cool. All right. I can handle Dad. Papa, I'm not so sure. All right. I'm worth my... Anyway. Linda, will you come? Look, what we focus on in the kingdom of God is what you get. Okay? What you focus on is what you get, okay? And last weekend... God really moved powerfully in Linda's life. What you may not know is that over a year ago, just over a year,
yep.
Linda had a very serious accident and has basically been bedridden for many, many months as a result of it. And only of recent weeks has started the process of being able to get out. And I want you to tell us what happened last week at the gym. Because it was a devastating time for you, so you start at the gym, and tell us what happened.
So part of my physio, I have to go to the gym, and I rock up there thinking it's going to be all good, and the lady says, "Hop on this machine." I not a gym thing, so it's a thing you have to hop in, and your legs come up like this, and you go like this with your legs. Quite tricky. And I thought, yep, got this all under control. She says, do your good leg first, because that's what we're going to work on first. So I get in there, And I go like this, and I can't move it. So she says, I will take all of those thingies off it, weights, and we'll just try zero resistance. So I get there again, and I go like that, and I can't move it. And that was my good leg, so I was pretty gutted. I came home, and I sobbed. My good leg was worse or as bad as my bad leg. And I sat in my chair and I thought, you know, no matter how far I've come, it didn't matter because I still was at the end. I had nothing left. I was used. Andrew came home and I just sat in my chair, blah. But before that, I'd enrolled in Kingdom Conference and I said to Andrew, we're still going. I just knew that that's where I wanted to go. So we rocked up, not knowing how I was going to sit for so long, because you may know I can't sit long, not knowing what I was going to be able to stay for. But as we rocked into the church, the hall where it was on, we'd only just got in the doors. If you were there last week, you would have seen there was these nice little bags here. So we just picked up our bag, and this lady came up to me and she said, I want to pray with you. Didn't know who she was. And I said, oh, yeah, okay. And she prayed with me, and she prayed healing on my leg. And she prayed some other things. And I really claimed that. And for that whole weekend, I was able to stay for the whole weekend. And I was able to do what, you know, what God wanted me to do. Maybe he didn't want me to be quite so loud, but that was good. But I rocked up to the gym on Monday. And I get there and I said to the lady, you know, my physio, I says, oh, look, I don't need my stick anymore. And she said, really? And I went, yeah, I don't need my stick anymore. And she says, well, show me. I want you to walk down there. So I did. She goes, how does that happen? And I said, prayer. She said, hop on the bike. So I hopped on the bike and I was on there for 5 minutes. No biking before. She says, right now we're going to really test it because I just don't get it. And I says, oh, it's prayer. And she says, now hop in this machine, you know, that machine. Mm-hmm. So I get in there and she goes, right, here we go. And I did it. And I did it.
Wow.
And I did it.
Wow.
And she says, we're going to put 15 of those thingies, weights. 15 of those weights on that machine. And you know what? God is good because I can do it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's so cool. That's so cool. So no stick. Oh, wow. Yeah. Man, that's amazing, isn't it? And what I love about it was it wasn't at an appeal time. It was the fact that somebody looked and had compassion on Linda and said, can I pray? You see, because it's not the person who heals that prays, it's the one to which we turn our attention to. And you see, that's what happens. See, because most of us, the truth is, we get what we're focused on, right? We get what we're focused on. Our problem is that we're not focused to think that, hey, too often, hey, God could do a miracle. Well, that's not even in our thinking, you see. And so if there could be anything that I'd want to say to us as we move into worship this morning, is just open up your expectation for God to do great things. You know, for me, people say to me, Ivan, how is it for you? Well, you see, I just believe that stuff. When Linda and they came around, I couldn't believe it. When she came around, because, you know, she's really hobbled a lot on this leg. And when she came to the door, I opened the door, she came up and they had to go up steps. She went up steps and I just watched. So I couldn't believe. This is God working in our midst. Do you understand this? This is not all because of Ivan or because of the lady he prayed or da-da-da-da. No, this is God. This is God. I do not want the attention of humanity. I want the attention of a supernatural God who moves amongst us. That's what we're. But we are His agent. We are his agent. And that's what I want us to just have a mindset to do, that that when we would come on a Sunday, you know, we come with an expectation for God to do amazing things. We had last weekend, we had a number of healings recorded, most of the healings happened outside of ministry times. They happened in our worship times, which is the thing that I'm after, you see. That's just the thing I'm chasing, you see, because I believe with all my heart that when you walk down the street and you see people and you're just filled with compassion because you see such need. I believe the compassion is not yours. It's actually a godly compassion. But we don't know what to do with it. We don't know what to do with it. But I see an army that will actually just go out, you know, and just believe for God to move. I just thank God that over the past few years we've begun to see this more happen, that it's not just contained within a Sunday, but actually we see people in the marketplace, in work environments, who are just looking for the presence of God to come and move. It's exciting. Just before hand over, let's spend a time in worship, and then we'll open the Word this morning. Just to give you a report for Glenn. You see, Glenn is in the hands of the Lord. It's a miracle that's happening there. The specialist said, you know, to us, the hand of the Lord is on her. Look, just so that you know, she would be, she's not here, so that's all right. So on Wednesday, a tumor was taken from her. It's the size of a small pumpkin. And now we've known about the tumor, obviously. That's where this is all headed. Obviously for us, we think, well, is it cancer? And so at this moment, just to let you know that the surgeon said to me, I cannot take cancer off the table until it gets a biopsy. So ethically, he can't do that. He can't say. But he said, look, listen, I do this every day of the week. And he said, and I know when we're in trouble and when we're not. And he said, I think we're not in trouble. So I'm just so full of thank and gratitude to God for that. And so we've seen this miracle take place each day. He comes. He says, I can't believe how well you're doing, Glenda. Well, I've just had a phone call to say, Glenda's just running. Says, Bishop's been in. She's to go home. So I have to pick her up straight after the service, you know, bring her home. The fun will begin. Ruby thought a bell would be nice. Well, I'm telling you, no bells. So please pray for me. But the reality is, I see this as the hand of God. We prayed for Joe and Mark and for the little one. We prayed.
Hallelujah.
You know, and God moves, right? We pray, and God moves. Now that should be our culture. So what do you do at Hutt City? Well, we pray. We pray. We pray. That needs to be our culture. Is that we just pray. We just pray believing. Well, God bless you. So you got a Bible with you. I'd like you to turn with me to Acts chapter 4. And this is really the only scripture that we'll look at in the sense that if you look at it, if you get a Bible, open it up, you'll see that... Well, in my Bible, what you do is you see Acts chapter 3. And so I'm just going to contain my thinking this morning to this scripture. There is a climax to this situation that I want us to look at this morning. And it's in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. We'll read it together. So this is the sort of the end of the story that I want to talk to you about. As we look at the scripture in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. It says this, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans. The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness. So what happens here in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. And as they go to the temple to pray, what happened is that there is this beggar at the temple gate. He's there every day. He's there and he's positioned in the right place to receive money because to be able to survive on. And what happens here on this day is that Peter and John, as they go to the temple to pray, they encounter the man. And what happens is that Peter says, "Oh, look at us." The man looks up thinking, "Oh, good, I'm going to get some money." But Peter goes on and he says this. He says, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I'll give to you." Now what you're going to understand is what he does have is Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Peter and John are in the upper room on the day of Pentecost and they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Right? So that's what he's got. That's what he's got, okay? So here's the point. He comes to him, then comes to the beggar, says to the beggar, "Look at me," and the beggar looks up. He's lame, he's not able to walk. The beggar looks up in expectation he's going to receive silver and gold. But Peter says to him, "I got no dough. But what I do have," this is key, you can only give someone something you have, right? "But what I do have, I'll give it to you." Now what's he got? He's had an power encounter with God. So what's he going to give to this man? He's going to give him an introduction to the supernatural power of God. And what he does is he gets him to rise up and walk. And he gets up, he walks, and the Bible says that he'll go into the temple, leaping and praising God. And this guy's testimony of being healed will blow everybody's world apart. Right? Peter and John, all they're doing is sharing what they carry. Listen, please understand this. A number of years ago, I was really praying about this scripture because I was going to be preaching it somewhere. The Lord really spoke clearly to me and said this. "Ivan," he said, which is good because that's who he's talking to. He said, Ivan, if they never had power, if they didn't have the power of the Spirit that day, they needed to have some silver and gold. And then he went on to say, he says, "Even today, we hunger for silver and gold because there is no..." Right? It was a word for the Salvation Army at the time, was that, we will need silver and gold. We will need silver and gold if there is no power.
Amen.
For us to be able to do what we need to do, we're going to need silver and gold. But we were a Salvation Army who were raised. We were born in revival. Amen. We were born out of a move of the Holy Spirit. What we offered the world and what we still must offer is a move of the Holy Spirit. You with me? So that what happens in the story is that they go in, and of course this is an uproar because everybody knows this guy. And now he's healed. And so the main point to the religious leaders of this day was this, they went to Peter and John. They said, "By whose name and by whose power did you do this thing?" Right? By what authority did you have to do this? And because they can't deny. You can't deny testimony. You can't go to Linda afterwards and say, "Oh, Linda, you were just putting it on." You can't do that. You can't beat somebody's testimony. Right? And that was what was going on here. And so they went to Peter and John, the religious leaders, and they needed to shut him up because they didn't like what they saw. Still will happen today. When God begins to move, it'll be the religious leaders that'll want to shut it down. They want to shut it down. History has proven it time and time and time again. Usually, it's usually the guys that have been in the move of the Spirit prior. When the next move of the Spirit comes, they're the ones that are so anti it. Why? Because they're keeping God to a box. Because God only moves this way. But God is not going to be kept to a box. You can't keep him to a box. You can't say, on a Sunday, God, I will come and we will do this and we will sing songs this way and we will pray this. This is what men will do. This is what religious leaders will want to do. They will want to put on a service. I don't want to put on a service. I want a demonstration of the Spirit's power. I want to walk away from church going, oh man, wasn't God good? Right? Wasn't God good? And so what happens here? They want to shut him down. Now in chapter four, we have the story of the religious leaders trying to shut Peter and John down. And so what they did was they stuck them in jail overnight, and then they brought him before the council of the rulers, the elders, the teachers of the law, the high priest was even there. And they were challenged, as I said, about whose power, whose name they'd done the miracle. And the amazing thing is, when Peter and John standing before these religious leaders, verse 8 of chapter 4 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, why couldn't the writer just go, then Peter said? Why couldn't he just go? You know, so they've been arrested, they've been chucked in jail the next day. You know, it's all about, you know, stirring them up that they're in trouble. You imagine it. All you were doing was going to church and said to a guy, get up in the name of Jesus, get up. And now you're been put in jail overnight. Now you're brought before this great big group of people. It's intimidation that is going on here. And now Peter's standing in the midst of it. And Peter now has to make the response. And why doesn't the Bible just say, and Peter said? Why does it want you and I to know that when Peter is about to see, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you why. Because being filled with the Holy Spirit would make the difference. Being filled with the Holy Spirit would make the difference. If there's somebody here this morning, you say to me, my life feels weak. I feel like I can't do stuff. Well, I want you to know that you're okay to be who you are, but there is something more for you today. There is something more that you too can stand and give testimony that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, so Peter answers. He says here in verse 8, he says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke to them rulers and elders about people, and he goes on to do it. And what happens is, he speaks about Jesus. He says, there is salvation in no one else. And then the members, verse 13 says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training into the Scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus, okay? All right, so in other words, as they looked, they saw themselves, they said, man, these guys haven't got qualifications. You know, they've got no academic ability. But they recognized that he'd been with Jesus. You know, that's what I love about Brother Joe. That's why I took my time with Joe this morning. I want to sit in Joe's world. I want to sit, because we're losing this. We're losing this. We're losing it big time. That all we need is the Spirit of God. And we said, no, we need other stuff. We need other stuff. No. All we need is a man who says, oh God, use me. Use me. You understand? And so they're standing there, right? They're standing there, filled, ordinary man. And so then what happens is this, that these guys basically said, you are not to use the name of Jesus ever again. I want you to understand that, you know, you would think that maybe, you know, go and hit them or something. That they just really, they got such a telling off. But I want you to understand who they're in the company of. They are in the company of very powerful people. And I want you to understand that words do hurt. words do control, right? Words can, you know? And that's what they used in this day. They used their sense of authority, power that they thought they had, and they basically said, "You will not do this again." Now, this was just no, this was a major challenge. This was, you know, I tell you this, the high priests and the elders expected what? They expected that these guys would be so scared that they would never again do this. That's what they believe, because they're not that dumb. If you were dumb, you might have gone, well, I'm going to tell you off now. These guys were brilliant minds. And they knew that what we're about to do, we're only doing it because we know it'll work. And that is that they said, so I want you to understand the moment. This is a really powerful moment. This is a big deal for Peter and John right this moment. They are confronted with opposition that possibly, you know, they just feel so overwhelmed with. Well, you know, you and I, we feel like this. Sometimes we get some words spoken to us, stuff happens to us, and we're just like, oh, that's it, I can't do that again. I'm just so shut down. I'm just like, you know, we all had that experience, okay? Don't we? Somebody says to us, somebody says some stuff, and we go, oh, gee, well, you know, I won't do that again. And you know what I mean? So we can understand this moment. So what happens is we need to understand, because this is really the key of my message this morning, is what do you do with opposition? What are you going to do? Because I'm telling you this morning, as we chase the Holy Spirit, there's going to be opposition. There is opposition. You should hear some of the stories that are said about me. You need to check them out. You need to check them out. Because I was talking to somebody just even last weekend. They were saying to me, oh, I don't know. Over the years, you've had such a hard time. But does anybody deny the fruit? You see, that's what I've always prayed. I prayed, God, well, at the end of the day, they can do whatever they like with me, but let the fruit speak. Let the fruit speak. You know, look, one of the leaders last week, they went after the joy of the Lord. I get it, because that's what I'm after. We've lost our joy. So they went after the joy of the Lord. Well, that meant they started to pray and then they started laughing and I thought, oh, God, we have just stepped into learning, you know, right? But we've been praying for the joy of the Lord. But you see, my mind was wanting to shut it down. I wanted to go, oh, this is so uncomfortable for me, right? But as I even did this, I felt the Holy Spirit going, but Ivan, you're asking for the joy of the Lord. You're asking for it. Now you want to shut it down. Don't tell me that I'm only... You're like this. We're all like this. We're all like this. Come on. We get on. So our prayer is, God, your will be done. Then he begins, and we go, oh, no, you're not going to do that. Oh, no. That looks like something else. And why are we stuck it in boxes? You know, last week I just said, I had to do it. I just took us through the scripture of every time God moved. I went through 45 scriptures. You wrote them all down, Jamie? 45 times when God shows up. What's it like? Guys fell over. Guys trembled. Guys laughed. It was just, we had it all. And not once does God come and say, now I'm about to do a Pentecostal thing. Oh, I'm going to come now and do a charismatic thing. You know. Oh, here I go. For you, it's a Pentecostal thing. Oh, come on. I just want God. I just want God. God, stop putting it in boxes. That's why over the years, when tempted to go elsewhere, the Lord said, no, the Salvation Army's DNA is that you accepted all this. Your DNA was that your forefathers said, do not make judgment calls on the move of the Spirit. That's why I've stayed. Because I belong to a movement that at the end of the day, move past boxes, move past philosophies, move back to the forefathers, move back to the DNA of the forefathers. They say, no knives under the table. Look for God. Look for God. So they go back. Now, you imagine it today. You've just had the biggest telling off. You are scared stiff. You are like, man, I'm not. Hey, John, I don't think we should ever do that again, mate. We're in big doo-doo here. And so they go back. And what do? They walk back. They walk into the room and they walk into the company of people and they go looking for believers. That's a good place to go. Go back to the believers. That's why we need Hut City. Come back into the body. You know, then start talking to the body. And what did they do? They prayed. Oh, come on. How ridiculous. They should have got the whiteboard out, said, obviously we need another plan. This last plan isn't working. We've been told that we can't do it. We've got great opposition. So come on, let's just have a quick SWOT exercise. Strength, weaknesses, opportunities, threats over this moment, please. Right? Well, this is what we would do. This is what we would do. We would go, oh, well, that door's shut. Can't do that now. Got to think of something else. No. All they did was they went back and prayed. And what I love about it was that it's such a great prayer. You know, the first part of the prayer, he just basically, isn't it great how people want to tell God things? And God's going, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah, wow. True. Well, we do that all the time, don't we? You know, God, let me just tell you how much trouble I'm in. Oh, okay, go for it. Well, this will be interesting. You know, but that's what they did. But then they get down to what I call the crux of the prayer. And we read it. It says this in verse 29. And now, O Lord, hear their threats. Right? Hear their threats. And give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. So the first thing they do is this. They say, God, have you heard their threats? Give me greater boldness. They didn't say, oh, give me another plan. Or imagine today's church if we had this level of opposition. It would have gone on our risk registers. You know, somebody would have said, this is a risk to us as a movement. Put it down. We've got to address this. We've got to have solutions for this problem. Come on. No, they go, oh, God, you heard the threats? God's going, no. Oh, yeah. Give me greater boldness. Now, you'll see that they'd already preached the words. You'll see it in the scripture that they'd already preached with boldness. They're asking for boldness. Well, they've already done it. No. What are they doing? More, God. More. I want to go to another level with this. Come on, God. When are you praying? When are you praying when you're faced with the trouble? You're going, oh, more, God. More. Or what I find around the Western world churches, that we, especially in New Zealand, we go, oh, God, give us a plan, an escape plan, please, a deliverance plan. Oh, God, help me. Look how bad it is for me, God. Can you not see how bad it is for me? No, they don't. Give me greater boldness. Give me greater boldness. And then they do something which I just think is crazy. They then go, I love it. Oh, they just go, where are we? Verse, stretch forth thy hand. And now, Lord, he says, verse 30, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. You been in a prayer meeting lately? We've got great opposition. We've got things not happening for us. Things aren't going our way. It's a bad day. And we're praying. And do you hear in the midst of that prayer? Do you hear the prayer? Oh God, greater signs and wonders, please. No, I don't hear it. It's a foreign sound. Here they were. They in this moment. They're in deep trouble. And what they're saying is, oh, come on, God, if you show up more in power, that's the answer. Well, you're getting to know, aren't you? Well, Glenn and I are here. That's what we'll chase. I just honor. I totally honor the sense of meeting people's need that goes on around this place. I honor it. It's just I'm blown away by it. You know, stuff that goes on at Tea House and stuff that goes on in community ministries, Liz. I just get blown away by it. I do. Just the way we take the cup of water and we do what we can when we can. I just honor that. I do not want us. If anything, let's turn it up even more, eh? Let's don't keep it to the professionals. Let's all get engaged in it. Would be good. But so we turn it up. But oh, I want power. I want the miraculous. I want signs and wonders in our midst. I want God to turn that up. You with me? I want him to stretch forth his hand and heal. That was the prayer. Stretch forth your hand, heal. Hear God. You heal. You heal. Move miraculously. See, it's coming out of people who want this. So we finish in this moment. Let me, you know, look at what he finishes, what happens. You know, they pray. Verse 24. It says, verse 31. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness. I'll tell you, I've had the earth shake on two occasions. Once was in Wainui Mata, where you were there. Glenda got up to sing. She used to be very prophetic in the singing. She hasn't done it for years, but she would get up. She'd do a song. She got up this day. And she began to sing, "We're on holy ground." I tell you, even now when I'm in the moment. See, this is what testimony does. It fits you back in the moment. It reminds you again, and. She started to sing, We're on holy ground. And everybody in the room was going, we could sense something. It was just the presence of God. It was just an amazing moment. Then all of a sudden, yeah. The earth shook. You were there?
I remember that vividly.
Yeah. I tell you, we all freaked out. We all freaked out. Oh, maybe you wouldn't. Most of humanity does. When God shows up, we freak out. We'll even go as far as to do this. We'll call it the devil. Remember, Jesus come walking on the water. The guys in the boat, what'd they do? They freaked out. Their response? It's a ghost. Why didn't they go, it's the Son of God. It's the Messiah walking across. It's the living God. No, we will. We're so afraid of the presence of God. We will go, it's the devil. It's the devil. It's got to be the devil. Only the devil does this stuff. Ah, come on. Second time was I had a young man came to me after a meeting, and he came up to me and he said, he was so desperate, he was so hungry. He said, I'm sick of this, Ivan. I'm sick of my life. I'm sick of what's happening. I want to pray. I want you to pray for me. I want the power of the Spirit in my life. And I said to him, okay, we'll pray. And just, I said to him, do you mind if I just put my hands on you and pray? He said, no, you go for it. And it just as I put my hands on him, and I went, Lord, and as I went, Lord, the earth shook. Now, it was an earthquake. It was just a coincidence. But I tell you, man, there were two people right at that moment that thought, man, we're just in the moment, aren't we? God is right here. After these guys prayed, the earth shook. It was a demonstration of God. It was a demonstration of God. Folks, I'm 60 years of age. I should be over this thing. But I am more hungry today than I've ever been. You deserve an encounter with the living God. Young people today, you deserve, Micah, Serena, you deserve an encounter with the living God. Because God is so real, you know. You deserve that after you pray, you know. Many of us pray and we don't know. Do we? We pray. We say our prayers. We have no idea. But after this moment, when they prayed, there was a demonstration of the Spirit's power. But please, folks, hear me now. It'll only come if you hunger for it. Come on, Hutt City, we've got to hunger more for the Spirit of God. We've got to hunger more for God to move. In the midst of opposition, our reflex should be, I'm not going to moan, I'm not going to complain, I'm not going to ring up headquarters and say, oh, what should I do? I'm just in trouble now. We would go, we'll pray. We'll pray. And we'll pray until we know that God is moving by His Spirit in our midst. Amen? And so this morning, what I'd like to do, just to let you know, Carol's here. Hey, Carol, I saw Carol. What we're going to do over the next few weeks, Carol, wherever you are, Carol. Oh, she's got a back problem. She'll be standing up. There you are, Carol. Over the next few weeks, I'm just going to call people to come forward, and I'd like the ministry team to come and just to pray. You know, I'd like to create over the next 2 weeks, because you know what next Sunday is? Pentecost Sunday, right? Over these next couple of Sundays, I want us to pursue for more of the Holy Spirit together. Amen? I want us to come, and so the way to do this is I'm going to invite you to just come and stand, because I saw this last weekend. It was just amazing how when you came stand, get other people to come and just stand and pray, amazing stuff happens, right? Amazing stuff. And it's got nothing to do with how amazing the person was who came to pray. It was all about the sense that we created this environment where God could move. There are some of you here today, you desperately need the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say to you, do not let this chase go until you have an encounter. Do not let this go. What happened to you, Mike? Mike struggles. Can I say this, Mike? Mike struggles. Mike is a guy that he's our best soul winner in the place, Mike. But he struggles to hear, to feel God. He just does it all out of the sense of faith. He's amazing. He's an amazing man. I honour you. And him and I have had talks this year about it. You know, you can imagine. We've had a little bit of ice cream time together, and we've talked about all this stuff. Well, last week he comes forward. Nothing ever happens to Mike. I had even got to that place, Mike, where I would go, it'll happen to everybody else, but won't happen for Mike, you know. But last week, he came forward, and I just went out, and as we got, we didn't even begin to pray. And Mike went down in the power of the Spirit. Now, the reason I share this testimony is because Mike's like me. You know, I can be like this. I can feel nothing, right? Some people say to me, Ivan, is it all about feelings? Oh, that's only coming from a person who's never experienced God. Right? It's true. The people have said to me, oh, you're only after feelings. The very people have never had it themselves. Because once you've had it, I tell you, you never want to be anywhere else. Right? Once you've eaten steak, do you want mince? When you know there's steak to be had, that's my motivation. My motivation is because I know that when people have an encounter with the living God, they are changed forever. They don't have a 1 week on, 1 week off, 1 week on. You know, they don't. It changes forever. So, Hutt City, I'm inviting you. If it's you, we're just going to pray. We're going to pray. And look, this is as good as I get. I'm not guaranteeing you anything because I can't do it. I can't turn it on for you. You will know. We are not going after hype. We're going after the very living God. Amen. We're not going after emotionalism. We're going after the living God. I can't turn Him on. But He will respond to your hunger. He will respond to your hunger. How much do you want Him? And so I'd just like to invite you to come. And the team are going to do something. I don't know what the team are doing, but they'll do something. But I'd like to invite anybody here this morning who says, Ivan, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want my reflex to be that I'll be somebody who'll just turn straight away to prayer. I'll be somebody, yeah, God bless you, Chris. I'll be somebody who just wants to, you know the power of the Spirit on my life, you know. If that's you this morning, I invite you to come and stand. I'm not going to get worried if there aren't too many of us up here. I'm not worried about numbers. I believe God's going to do something wonderful in Chris this morning. You know, but I want to give opportunity. I want to give you opportunity this morning. Just come and stand down here. Say, yeah, God, I want more. I want more this morning from you. I want you to move in my life. All right, God bless you. We'll just give you opportunity. Kids are coming in right this moment. Good time. Amen. Anybody else wants to come? We're going to pray. We've got to pray. Mike, can I ask you to pray for Chris? That's good. Anybody else? You just come. All right, let's do man on man, woman on woman. Yeah, people are moving now. Yeah, would you just come and stand with these people, pray with these people? People in the ministry team, come pray. We're going to pursue more. Man, we need it. We need it. I need it. I'm desperate for more. That's it. Just as the team sing, Holy Spirit, come. I just invite you to come. We'll just pray. We're just going to finish our meeting. This is how we'll finish our meeting today. And you come. I believe there's some of you who'll come as we're praying together. God bless you. So Chris just says to me, I can see. I can see. He's had problems with his eyes, and he just said, oh, I can see everything. You know, we didn't even pray that. You know what I mean? It's like if we just allow God to do what God wants to do with hungry people, can you see that? For too long, men and women have determined where we should go. It's not where I go. I just want God to be God in the house. He does whatever he wants to do. About the eye? You want to say something?
That's right.
All right.
Jonah, thank you very much.
You just want to say?
This is my first time, not calling. First time. Look, I can see you.
Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen. It's good, eh?
I believe God, he's the way. I believe God.
Thank you very
much. Ivan. God bless Chris. Yeah,
I think
it's
so. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
and
cool.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's good. That's good.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, we're pretty late. Thanks for hanging around, folks. But I want you to understand that I really believe this is what Hutt City wants. You know, that we want more of God. We don't want hype. We don't want flesh. Nah. Oh, I love it. I love the way in which you don't want that. I just love it. We want God. Well, I'll tell you, that's what I want. I want us to see God have his way in our midst. See what he does. God bless you. Father, thanks for this morning. As your family, we just say thank you, God. We don't take this for granted. We don't want to be flippant about it. But we want to thank you for the way in which you've moved by your Spirit in our lives. We thank you, Father, for the lives that have been filled. We thank you for the way in which you've just touched people's lives. And Lord, we thank you for Chris and Father, that Lord, for those healing. We thank you for the testimony of Linda. We thank you, God, for, Lord, the changes that I see in people, Father, as we've encountered you. So now as we go from this place, come with us. Lord, just be our God. And Father, we want to live and more for you. And we want to pursue you more and more. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. Amen.